Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Wednesday morning, November 13th, a brisk, chilly morning with the breeze still blowing. We'll tell you how warm it won't get. In the news, the Center City apartment complex evacuated after flames broke out. We had multiple fires and hazmat situations we're talking about this morning. So we know that the smoke was pouring out of Adelphia House Apartments, 1200 block of Chestnut Street, started on a fourth floor apartment, according to the fire officials there. One resident was rushed to the hospital, suffered smoke inhalation, and this morning is in serious but stable condition. So it took crews about an hour and a half to get this thing under control. That cause still under investigation. Red Cross helping out those who are displaced, and fire crews still checking for any structural damage. We also had a huge fire destroying an apartment building. This is Pine Hill, New Jersey. So this was the first call came in around 6 p.m. last night for flames showing from that second floor balcony at the mansion apartments. This is on West Branch Avenue in Camden County. So the police chief there says about 16 units were just destroyed and nearly 30 people are displaced as a result of that fire. Sadly, five police officers as well as a firefighter were rushed to the hospital to be treated for smoke inhalation. So, you know, this is very serious, obviously, with the heavy smoke conditions and the wind. The wind is a factor. That's why we've talked about all of these wildfires going on across the country, across the region, but especially in New Jersey. But in these first two cases, we're talking about apartment buildings. So it looks like no residents injured, but they're looking into obviously investigating the cause.
You know, we're doing World War II veterans and we do our veteran spotlight. We do a ton with police, obviously, families behind the badge. I'd like to do a Kale and Company Firefighter Appreciation Week. Yeah. We got to carve out a week throughout the year to start doing that. Get to the next level of our heroes out there.
I love it. Yeah. That's a great idea.
You know, send that down to the boys down the hallway when they come in.
Well, speaking of which, in Montgomery County, we have reports that five people, including a firefighter, are hospitalized after a hazmat incident was reported. So rescue crews, those first responders, were called to the unit block of Amy Court. This is North Wales, Pennsylvania, for reports of people who were starting to get sick and fall ill. Fire officials say that there was a very strong chemical odor that was later ID'd as ammonia. And so this was being used as part of a cleaning solution for power washing. And obviously a spill happened. Four residents, the firefighter involved, taken to the hospital, and they are expected to survive that. So these are not life-threatening injuries, but obviously a serious situation there. And just a reminder that today is the big day when former President Donald J. Trump makes a big return Some are calling it a victor's return to Washington, D.C. to meet with President Joe Biden. And before he meets with Biden, he will meet with GOP lawmakers. In particular, there was a news conference yesterday with House Speaker Mike Johnson. So Johnson, kind of, I don't know if he realized during the news conference that he broke this news, but that President Trump, President-elect Trump, will actually meet with House GOP members prior to the meeting with Biden.
Very interesting. I'm sure we'll have some details developing throughout the day.
Yes.
All right. That's going to be an interesting little... So technically, this would be his first time back since January of 2021, right? He's not, you know, stepped foot on the property since, right?
Yeah, especially the Oval. I mean, they're meeting in the Oval Office.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So Trump, you know, planned to meet with Biden. Then yesterday we learned that he would meet with GOP leaders in the House. They're, and obviously they're holding that so-called secret vote to pick a Senate majority leader. And, you know, he's going to meet with the House. I don't know if he's going to meet with those in the Senate before meeting with Biden.
Oh, yeah.
But then in the Senate, remember, there's the secretive vote that we've been talking a lot about today. So that we've got that going on. I don't know. Maybe they could come up with a new department to help our Philadelphia 76ers. Yeah. How's Joel Embiid? I know. Big
debut. The hell
debut.
Was that last night? I don't know.
He was back. His debut.
Blue court.
What was up with that court?
Phil, I was asking Phil. He's like, yeah, it's the NBA Cup. It's this little sham operation they run in the middle of the season or the beginning of the season to drum up interest in the regular season. I'm like, you want to drum up interest? Trim off 25% of these meaningless games.
Look at you. You're in the. This is your theme.
Cut.
Yeah.
It's just a waste.
It is.
So the final score was 109-99 in Embiid's debut for the season. He looked a little bit rusty.
A little bit.
Paul George
against the Knicks.
Yeah, 25 points, I think he had.
Yeah.
26 points.
Yeah, I watched about the first half of the first quarter. Then my retinas started to melt from staring at the television.
Yeah, that was not a pleasant watching experience.
I was getting text, and I guess somebody saw my tweet about how awful the court was, and my buddy was there, and he said it's not as bad on the eyes in person.
It was just the TV.
As it is on television.
I can see that.
Yeah.
So against the Knicks, they beat us 109-99. Embiid afterwards did say that he was pleased with his progress health wise.
Did he choke Marcus Hayes?
Did he? What?
I'm just wondering if he assaulted any reporters, you know, that wrote something about him that he didn't like.
Well,
yeah. Remember that story we had a couple weeks ago?
They should. Not speak about
his family,
deceased family members.
Yeah, I got
or
it.
His child.
Yeah.
You know? Bet you they won't do that again.
Yeah, probably not.
Let's talk about your forecast. It is brisk.
It is
36 degrees. Woo!
Frost on the car this morning.
Yes, a little frosty.
Yeah.
So 52 degrees is the high today. It won't really feel like 52 despite the bright sunshine because of this brisk breeze. Tomorrow, much of the same as far as 52 degrees, but we don't have the sunshine tomorrow. So it'll feel even, tomorrow's kind of raw, might have some drizzle tomorrow, no rain of any substance. Friday, we start a nice little warm up though for Friday, 58 degrees, partly sunny skies. I'll point out to you that starting Thursday, those overnight lows are in the mid 40s. So just again tonight, covering your tender vegetation, as we say. The weekend, Saturday and Sunday, we're looking at 63 degrees for both days. Saturday is the sunnier day, although Sunday looks like a partly sunny day. And we are sponsored, as I say, Piazza Auto Group, sponsoring our sports, news, our weather. Get the Honda of your dreams during Happy Honda Days with financing as low as 0.9% APR and a select on those select new models like the capable Ridgeline. Visit Piazza Honda of Philadelphia, Langhorne, Pottstown, Reading, or Springfield online, PiazzaHonda.com. Thank you, Piazza Auto Group, for sponsoring our first edition Kale and Company News Live.
All right, Don, thank you very much. 6:14 on Wednesday. Let's get to a midweek big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
And it is brought to you by Wawa, the Big Take, Media, Politics, and the Shift of Power. Adapt or perish. That is evolution. And that seems to be one of the reasons why the legacy media landscape continues to narrow and narrow. As people in America seek alternate sources of news, information, and entertainment. And that is certainly true within the realm of politics and how Americans seek truth, specifically during an election year. The 2024 election taught us many things, but maybe nothing bigger than how quickly we've come to realize that mainstream media's influence has eroded before our very eyes. Now, they'll still generate revenue. Their talking heads on TV will still make elitist 1% salaries, but they are nothing more than background noise at this point, largely seen and heard now in the form of clips that go viral on social media or played back on thriving shows and thriving stations like Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and Kale and Company. Politico with a fascinating story on voting trends and media consumption. The headline, quote, an overlooked and increasingly important clue to how people vote, where they get their news from. In a shocking result, it is Democrats that appear to consume old media far more than Republicans, which signifies just another shift in the political realignment of America. According to NBC News, 70% of Joe Biden voters get their news from the newspaper, compared to just 21% of Donald Trump's voters. National network news, Biden voters, 55%, Trump voters, 35%. YouTube and Google, surprisingly, 55% for Trump voters to just 39% for Biden voters. And with social media, it's relatively close, with Republicans at 46% to Democrats at 42%. And when it comes to left-wing news television, it has been a post-election bloodbath. MSNBC seeing a ratings collapse, since last Tuesday. Stephanie Ruhle, down 67%. Joy Reid, down 55%. Alex Wagner, down 54%. Ari Melber, down 50%. Chris Hayes, down 47%. Morning Joe, down 40%. Andrea Mitchell, also down 40%. And why is this happening? Well, it could be cyclical. Post-election, the results are in. The next newsworthy event for the left might be Trump's inauguration on January 20th, or it could also be due to the fact that the playbook has gone stale. Bash Trump, and when in doubt, bash Trump. Well, he won. So what exactly are you bashing? You going to bash the American voters again? We saw how that turned out for you. And he'll be around for another 4 years. Joy Reid, the commander of hot takes and cold ratings, continues to garner more attention on social media than she actually does in the demographics that her employer likely covets, and she had this embarrassing interview just a day ago. Listen and watch.
Do you recommend, just from a psychological standpoint, being around them? We got the holidays coming up.
So I love that you asked this question because, you know, there is a push, I think just a societal norm, that if somebody is your family, that they are entitled to your time. And I think the answer is absolutely not. So if you are going to a situation where you have family members, where you have close friends who you know have voted in ways that are against you, like what you said, against your livelihood, and it's completely fine to not be around those people and to tell them why, you know, to say, I have a problem with the way that you voted because it went against my very livelihood and I'm not going to be around you this holiday. I need to take some space for me. And I actually talked to, you know, adults as well as advising parents for children. I mean, I think, you know, I don't think that you should force children. I don't think you should force adults to be around people just because they're your family. I think there's a level of, you know, need to establish boundaries. And if you feel like you need to establish boundaries with people, whether they're your family or not, I think you should very much be entitled to do so. And I think it may be essential for your mental health.
Imagine bringing on a psychiatrist to talk about your family and mental health and talk about how to handle the holidays with your uncle who voted for Trump and thinking that's good television. And what's with the me time and this need to, I need to reflect and handle your own mental health? All because what? An election didn't go your way? These people have serious, serious issues. And it's not getting any better for the left-wingers over at CNN, a network that has crashed and burned since Trump left office and lost all credibility from a journalistic standpoint, on top of the fact that their personalities have zero charisma and zero entertainment value. Big news coming down yesterday that CNN will, quote, axe their top stars in a layoff that'll see hundreds of firings as ratings continue to tank. According to a news report from Puck, Chris Wallace, leaving after 3 years, he leaves voluntarily, making $7 million a year, and he's going to go do a podcast. I mean, nobody consumed him on television. I have no idea why anybody will listen to a Chris Wallace podcast, and I literally didn't even know that Chris Wallace was still around. Jake Tapper, Wolf Blitzer have been denied raises, and looming salaries like Anderson Cooper's $20 million per year, Aaron Burnett's $6 million per year, and Caitlin Collins' $3 million per year are being looked at as well. But this goes beyond just news on television. It also includes the late night shows. Now, one guy on CNN who has stolen the show lately as the counter voice is Republican Scott Jennings. You probably have seen him on the panel with Abby Phillips late on the weeknights. And he went off on late night hosts like Jimmy Kimmel for crying on television over election results and not being funny, but rather being a political activist. Listen and watch this.
Mara's the only one who kind of came out of
Mara. Mara gets it. The rest of these people have become pathetic. I mean, they stopped being comedians and they started becoming political activists. I mean, Jimmy Kimmel out here crying. I mean, it's pathetic. And so my question is, if you're going to have a late night comedy show, at some point people might expect it to be funny and not just a constant political screed against one party. And I don't know that this activism for four more years is sustainable if you're going to market something as comedy, but the actual product is nothing more than sort of lowbrow political activism.
This is what the television elitists don't understand. They're not funny. They are also so left-wing and biased that it's a major turnoff and a major tune-out for many Americans in this country. And Semaphore lays it out perfectly with the headline, "A Tale of Two Jets, the Old Media Grapples with Its New Limits." They write, "Trump's victory isn't a result of a failure by news outlets to sufficiently hold him accountable. The real answer is one that is a lot more uncomfortable to grapple with. The national news media is more limited in its reach and influence than ever in the modern era." Bingo. They absolutely nail it. Hence columns like this from Politico. Headline, "What Democrats don't understand about Joe Rogan, the future of American political engagement, is barely political at all." And nothing illustrated this better during the stretch run of election season than Donald Trump doing podcasts like Joe Rogan and Theo Vaughn, while Kamala Harris was paying huge amounts of money to Oprah and Eminem. They completely misread the media landscape. Trump at 78 realized it was 2024. Kamala at 60 thought it was 2004. And therein lies the sweeping differences in the two campaigns. And it's alternative media that is thriving today. And the Washington Post, of all place, writing about it. They write, "The 2024 election results make clear how much alternative forms of news have changed the game." You know, talk radio 1210 WPHT may be, you know, terrestrial radio, traditional radio on the surface, but we are a hot format right now. We've gone to streaming on an app, to broadcasting live on YouTube, to give a visual component to our presentation. And we offer alternative opinions that are miles apart from the legacy media. Conservatism on the rise, not just in America, but globally. Look at some other nations' elections in the last calendar year. And it's popular with young voters and Gen Z today. Did you see how well Trump did in Gen Z demographics? He got 44 to 49% of Gen Z in the swing states. Young men, especially so. And in many regards, we are the anti-establishment, the anti-authority outlet for rebellion, similar to how, Gen X rebelled from forced norms in the 1980s with parents and teachers. The media landscape isn't just shifting. It is a landslide to the right in politics, and the power belongs to those who dare to speak up and dare to speak out and do it in an entertaining and relatable way. That is the secret to the sauce, and that's the big take.
Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, Big Take this morning brought to you by Wawa. You may have heard by now that Wawa has pizza, but did you know that Wawa has pizza at a really great price? That's right. Right now, get a personal size 14 or 16 inch Wawa pizza for just $6, $8, or $10 because you got to have a Wawa. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in on social media at 1210WPHT. And, of course, let it rip in the YouTube chat. We'll get everybody's thoughts on the media collapse and the Trump administration continues to take shape. All of the positions and all of the people that have receive those positions on the other side. But first, a word from my friends at DuckDuckGo, because we're all tired of big tech, right? Just got done talking about it. We're sick of Google. We're sick of Yahoo. We're sick of Microsoft and Bing. And that's why we use DuckDuckGo. And that's why I'm so proud to partner with them for a second time, because they are the best search engine going and they are local. And they're taking your online privacy and security to the next level, which is why I have subscribed, and I hope you will as well, to Privacy Pro from DuckDuckGo. This is a 3-in-1 privacy service that's going to give you a secure VPN anytime, anywhere. That's the beauty of it. Secondly, identity theft restoration. We're all putting our information out there on the internet, and you don't want to have it stolen, and neither do I. And also personal information removal. A bunch of people that know way too much about you. It's going to blow the hackers and the scammers and the con artists' minds and blow them right out of the water. Take advantage of this special offer now, exclusively for our listeners. Just go to duckduckgo.com/1210 for a free 7-day trial offer. And once you love it, it's just $9.99 a month. Do it today and thank us later. duckduckgo.com/1210.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
855-839-1210. We'll get to the Trump transition. All of these positions in his administration being filled. What does it signify? What does it mean? What do we like? What do we have questions about? All of that coming up here in just a couple of minutes. But I really thought yesterday with this, before all these Trump administration moves started to come down in the evening hours, the media landscape is just fascinating right now, because MSNBC is in crash and burn mode post-election. What it signifies, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what their ratings were like 4 years ago around Thanksgiving into the Christmas weeks and month, or how it was in 2016. But those numbers can't be making executives happy. And then you have CNN that looks like they are just ready to completely purge and shed salaries. I can't believe that Anderson Cooper is making $20 million a year. It's just staggering to me. I would guess Caitlin Collins at $3 million a year. With her salary and her age, I would assume she's probably safe because she's young, and they'll flip her around, give her a different time slot, maybe keep her in the... But like, I think Anderson Cooper is... He might as well just start looking for his next endeavor, because $20 million a year with almost no ratings, he's going to get zapped, in my opinion. Some of these numbers are bad for them, too. So the ratings for both CNN and MSNBC, MSNBC has seen a 23% decline year over year, and CNN is sitting at a 40% decline year over year. I remember, and we talk about this, I don't know, maybe once a month on this show when these networks' ratings come out. And I remember back in the summer, we were talking about CNN had hit maybe an all-time low, the lowest they had been since 1991 or 1992. But what I thought was interesting in Politico, the Washington Post, and a couple of the other sources that I cited in the Big Take, have you noticed the transition? I mean, think about the, if this doesn't, illustrate where the Republican Party is today versus what the Republican Party used to be years and years ago, it's the Democrats that read newspapers, that watch cable news. Republicans are going to alternative sources. I was told that Republicans were the old fuddy-dud party. It's a totally different party under Trump, and I think media consumption illustrates that more than anything. Dawn, your takeaways from where the media is, the meltdowns, the collapses, and maybe the changing of the landscape, so to speak?
Well, I think the media has, even Fox News is down slightly. So I would say that the so-called mainstream media has proved that it is irrelevant. They are irrelevant. Look at the last election. And so what influence, you know, if you look at the influencers, they are the Joe Rogans, they are, you know, Elon Musk, but all of these different influencers. And, you know, you mentioned Anderson Cooper. I would submit to you that they have invested in him in promotion. He's still one of the most popular people and most recognizable people. A lot of people don't recognize many of the others. He's pretty much the face of CNN. And so as far as a long time, you know, person who people recognize and know. So I would disagree with you. I would think that they've invested a ton in him.
But 20 million a year and then got ratings?
No, all of them.
Yeah.
All the networks. Nora from CBS.
Yeah.
She's leaving in January. So it's going to, they're going to have their own reset button because television news used to, it's like a bigger, you know, you look at the pie and you look at how it's being cut up. And so television news used to be able to charge more because they were the only, you know, at one point you have the big three.
Yeah.
Well, now you have 57 plus.
Are they fast track? And you would know better than me. Television news, is it on the same fast track that newspaper has been on, where the newspapers, I mean, Washington Post, Philadelphia Inquirer, they've lost hundreds of thousands of subscribers. Is it that level of panic within the industry, do you think, as far as people going to trust them for their news and information? Or is it not that point? And I know the salaries are, and look, like, you know, like CNN, honestly, God, you could put people in there making $1 million a year. And that's an incredible life to live, making, a seven-figure salary. I just feel like the days of these people like Jake Tapper commanding a raise, really? Like, dude, you're so out of touch with reality, it's not even funny.
Well, that's just it. So the big newspapers, I would say, they started dying because less and less people were buying those subscriptions. Then they saved themselves by, a lot of them would align themselves with other media outlets, with a broadcast entity,
mm-hmm.
or, well, for the Inquirer, they went nonprofit, the Lenfest, you know, foundation. So they went nonprofit. That's how they save the Inquirer. But I think part of the problem is, other than maybe the arts and gardening and cooking and some of those hobby things, and now they have, if you look at the Philadelphia Inquirer, a lot of those people with the niche type interests, they have their own podcast. They have a spinoff that they do.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably on Odyssey.
Yeah.
So I think it's a realignment, and that's how you have to view it. And then also think about corporations. Corporations bought up media. So we no longer have local newspapers or local television stations or really local radio stations, because everything is corporate. So NBC, who are they owned by? So then you saw, I think the tip-off was when you saw, what was it, Fox News, they sold, you know, and they obviously, the Murdochs, they loved, in past tense, news. What they want to get rid of it. It used to be, if you study this stuff, and I do because I worked in television for a long time, and so the bottom line is, it used to be that corporations, if they own TV stations, they viewed that as their public service. You know how, like, our Odyssey group will go out and clean up the park and plant trees.
Yeah.
So they really viewed that was like, it was a throwaway.
Mm-hmm.
And people back in the day did not make a ton of money. It
yeah.
wasn't like that. It
mm-hmm.
was you were becoming a journalist because you believed that this was an altruistic thing,
right?
Like becoming a school teacher,
mm-hmm.
that you were serving, you know, society.
Yep. I also saw a story yesterday from Fox Business, and I don't know if this is true or if this is just one competitor trying to stick it to the other, that Comcast is exploring selling off MSNBC, which I find fascinating. And to bring it to Trump and to politics with the media cycle and the news, I'm really wondering how much of this, and I get it, Trump's one of one, so maybe it's not apples to apples. But think about, after Trump left the White House, he was taken off of Facebook. He was taken off of Twitter. So what does he do to get his message out? He creates Truth Social, right? And in a way, Trump has circumvented the news media. He has told them they're fake, they're awful, I don't need you, you need me more than I need you, and I'll go around you to get my message out. And in that, in the last 8 or 9 years, he has basically said what a lot of us had speculated or thought or believed, that the media is the enemy of the people. Bought and paid for propaganda. They're meant to just tell you what the establishment wants you to hear. And then along the way, you've these other platforms come out, and then Trump returns the social media, then Elon Musk buys X, and it takes a select billionaire or two, right? It takes a Donald Trump, it takes an Elon Musk, but really, like, they have taken a flamethrower to the way it's always been done. Newspaper, television, radio, like the traditional formats, and with the advancement of technology, and the curiosity of Americans and the skepticism and doubt in our politicians and our agencies and these, you know, institutions that we have been told, you know, like the whole thing is just going in a different direction right now. And that's really why I think Kamala, there's many reasons why Kamala lost. There are many reasons why Trump won. But misreading the room on media is fascinating to me. I mentioned that in the big take. Trump's doing Theo Von. He's doing Joe Rogan. He's calling Zioli on election night. And here's Kamala Harris with entertainers that even the younger entertainers that she was with. I know Megan Thee Stallion or The Stallion is new. But Eminem, he's 20 years removed. I mean, I listened to Eminem in high school. I'm 40 now. I know Eminem's like an all-time legend in the hip-hop game, and I know Beyonce was great, but they're not the peak performers of the industry today. And it feels like she was stuck in 2005, and Trump was the one that adapted to 2024, and she's 20 years younger than Trump.
But keep in mind the couple of things. Keep in mind that you mentioned Comcast locally, right, and a mega, mega company owning NBC Universal, MSNBC, CNBC. That announcement that they made to shareholders, that was, I think, 2 weeks ago. So that has little to do with the election as far as what's happening as they look at, because it's all about how they can, you know, make money. And so obviously everything with it changing and evolving, that's what we're seeing here. They're going toward streaming on Peacock. People are unplugging. So if they dump MSNBC, CNBC, some of those, I believe that they're saying they would still keep the traditional, let's say, NBC News Network, Today Show, all of that, and then the local stations, mm-hmm. because those still are profitable, believe it or not. But they're going to, you know, do the streaming. That's the profitable, you know, margin that they're looking at.
Yeah. And CNN's trying to take that in a different direction. They basically have, it seems like they're almost punting on broadcast and going digital. Meanwhile, a station like us, we're putting up record ratings and doing streaming well and doing YouTube well. And we're bringing in people on this station that aren't necessarily lifelong conservatives or staunch Republicans. I really think right now our format, talk radio, and I know we're the number one talk station within the Odyssey company for talk radio. I think our format is hot right now. Is hot. I mean, we're beating sports stations.
But Nick, part of the reason is think about what you're talking about, oranges and apples, and that's what they're looking at. So we don't have a huge overhead. You know what I mean? When they do a little thing called the Olympics, those sets, the on-air talent,
oh, yeah.
The union, you know, these are union crews putting together sets. It's incredible. So their overhead is something that, you know, we can't even imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they're looking at. They're saying Joe Rogan with a set that looks like is in his like garage or his basement.
Better. I like our setup better than Rogan's. I'd like to have some weed, not some weed, but some alcohol in here. That'd be great.
But I'm just saying that they're looking at that saying, look at how it's because it's part of the authenticity of it, right? But Joe Rogan with a very simple setup and a microphone and no hair and makeup, literally, is raking in all these ratings, raking in all this money. And they look at this and say, we're paying all this on-air talent.
Yeah.
Talent in air quotes. And we have to pay a ton of staffers, and we still can't match the profit or the ratings that some of these people are getting. If you look at it, I know it's oranges and apples, but that's the kind of thing. If you're a business person, you know, and then you have all the drama going on. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, they're looking at this going, wow, what are we doing wrong?
Yeah. 855-839-1210. Let's get to Trump's administration on the other side. We'll start that conversation to wrap up the 6 o'clock hour, and then we'll go deeper into it in the 7 o'clock hour after Dawn's news. What do some of these selections signify? Which ones do you like? Which ones kind of came out of left field? We'll get to that as we continue. It's Kale and Company on this Wednesday morning on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
The NBA is back in FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook, wants you to catch all the action. Right now, FanDuel is giving everyone 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do is catch every tip-off and buzzer beater and place any $5 bet on the NBA to get 3 months of NBA League Pass, courtesy of FanDuel. Just go to FanDuel.com/Greg, FanDuel.com/Greg to make every moment more this season. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NBA and 1210 WPHT. 21 and over, present in Pennsylvania. After a 3-month free trial, the full price of League Pass will be automatically charged monthly. Cancel anytime. No refunds, terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Pieces falling into place in the evening hours last night. Right around, I think it was maybe 4:30 yesterday in the afternoon as I was taking my girls to dance, the reports were coming out that according to four sources, and I believe this is not official yet, this is not confirmed or verified, but Elena Haba, one of Trump's attorneys from some of the high-profile cases he had in New York, is going to be the White House press secretary. That is not official yet, but that is the speculation and chatter. But what is official is Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy heading up the Department of Government Efficiency, and Pete Hegseth. And Hegseth, what that was the news prior to Elon and Vivek, if we're looking at it in sequential order. He is now the defense secretary. Combat veteran, decorated vet in this country, who was a Fox and Friends weekend television host. For anybody that happens to watch, it's Hegseth, it's Rachel Campos Duffy, and our buddy Will Kane, who we had on the show a couple of weeks ago. And now all of a sudden, Pete Hegseth goes from television host to defense secretary. John Ratcliffe is back as director of the CIA. This is on top of Tom Homan as your border czar, Elise Stefanik, Lee Zeldin, Kristi Noem, Marco Rubio. And it tells me a couple of things. Number one, on the Pete Hegseth front for the defense secretary position, the vision to me is very clear here. There's going to be no nonsense. We have to build up our military, make our military strong again, hit our recruiting goals. I was watching some of the military pundits last night on television that if we actually got into a war with China today, that we would run out of defense industry protection against being attacked, as well as certain missiles, very quickly in a escalation or a full-blown war with China. That's scary to think about, that we are that depleted and that vulnerable. And I think with Pete Hegseth, a guy that's not one of these guys that's just going to look at it from a bureaucratic standpoint, but as a guy that actually risked his life, we're going to end these pointless wars. You know, Russia-Ukraine, I think that thing is over in 3 to 6 months once Trump takes office. But then on top of it, just looking at all of them, it tells me that Trump knew he was going to win. He had his mind made up on who he trusts, who he likes, and where he's going to put certain people. And he has also allowed, I would argue, very minimal leaks. I mean, other than the Haba story. And, you know, it's interesting. The Rubio thing, I don't know. Has that officially been confirmed? I haven't seen one of the Trump Vance letterheads that I'm holding up, if you're seeing on YouTube, that come out from Trump Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt. I don't know that that's official, but for the most part, these have been released by the Trump campaign. So I would argue that probably 80 to 90% of these have been relatively tight-lipped before they became official. But I really do think that he is ready to hit the ground running. And it wouldn't surprise me if he's got this entire thing buttoned up before Thanksgiving. Dawn, your thoughts just generally on what you like, what you don't like, what you're seeing so far?
I think he's moving quickly. You know, I think that he's announced maybe 6 or 7, but he still has in the cabinet, you know, you're looking at, 18 open positions. What I've noticed with the way he's doing this is that this is interesting to me. He is also naming some individuals a czar, such as Tom Homan, who we talked about yesterday. So the reason that that's different is that then if you are a czar, you're not a cabinet member.
Right.
So you don't have to do what? You don't have to be confirmed.
There's no oversight either. But remember when Republicans lost their minds because Van Jones was the climate czar, and they're like, nobody's going to be able to do. He said no checks and balances. Yeah. I guess now we're cool with it.
That's right.
No.
Yeah. No. Greg's right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So the reason that they're doing that with, because do you think?
Because technically the Department of Homeland, so Mayorkas is out. It's not Tom, by the way. So just so.
Well, no, everybody's out. It's a whole new cabinet.
Well, I know, but just so everybody realizes, I think people think that Tom Homan is replacing Mayorkas.
No.
Kristi Noem is Department of Homeland Security, right?
Yes.
So she will have the official title.
She has to be confirmed.
Once she's confirmed. But she'll be the new Mayorkas. Homan will just have, you know, the border czar label that Kamala Harris had.
But, you know, we've been playing the clips of Homan in the past. Do you think Homan might have a little difficulty getting confirmed before the Congress?
I don't know.
That he's verbally spanked?
I don't think he could get through Odyssey Security at 2400 Market.
So I think that, you know, what they're looking at is putting people in these positions that they think, like Kristi Noem. She seemed very nice, at least Stefanik. So all of those individuals must be confirmed before Congress. All the others, to, you know, as Greg is saying, there's no real oversight. But the important piece of this, the others, they can get right to work.
Uh-huh.
Because you're creating these positions. Also, he's putting in people who are policy people who can write the policy and others who can, I'd say, the policy and then the pit bull.
Yes. And people that are going to carry out his agenda. He wants peace. He wants prosperity. You know, on this war front, one of our cut sheet contributors, Harry, just sent me the tweet from Liz Warren. Liz Warren already raising a stink about this on Twitter. She tweeted from her at Senator Warren account, a Fox and Friends weekend co-host is not qualified to be the Secretary of Defense. I lead the Senate Military Personnel Panel. All three of my brothers served in uniform. I respect every one of our service members. Donald Trump's pick will make us less safe and must be rejected. To which I would counter. So, yeah, how do you feel about Lloyd Austin, folks? All right. Lloyd Austin. Wasn't Lloyd Austin the cat that just disappeared for a while? Nobody could find him. He was in the hospital. We got all these wars going on. Russia, Ukraine, China, Taiwan could go off at any moment. I feel like I've been saying that for 2.5 years now. We've got Iran. We got North Korea. I don't need some of these legacy Washington elitist bureaucrats that are just lurking around for 40 years, stealing paycheck after paycheck. I look at Pete Hegseth's combat history, and I look, do I know all of the specifics and the nuances as to what goes into being Secretary of Defense? No, I'm not going to sit here and lie and pretend that I do. But looking at his resume as a combat veteran, I feel good about having an outsider. And that's what I think all of these people hate. They hate the fact that there's outsiders coming in. Pete Hegseth, Elon Musk, Vivek Ramaswamy. How have the insiders been doing for 50 years in this country?
But I think the Pete Hegseth pick tells me that every time we've heard Trump talk about any major developments, who made the decisions? Trump. So choosing somebody like, you know, and Pete Hegseth is, you know, a bright guy by all accounts and yes, served our military.
Great hair.
But yeah, incredible TV hair. But I will say this, that I think for Trump, this is an area where he has said he trusts his generals. He is a hands-on commander in chief. And so the department head, the cabinet level department head, he just wants that person to be loyal.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that tells me. He's still, and remember he said that he would, as far as the generals that he worked with, that he liked, they will be, you know, activated again, not the ones that, you know, Biden is listening to. And that was something that Trump has said repeatedly.
Yeah.
So I just think a lot of this is that he's not a hands-off guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not sitting on a beach in Rehoboth or wherever in Delaware.
Yeah, you're not going to have a president that's out to lunch, physically and or mentally. You're going to have a guy that, for better or worse, wants to shape it the way he wants to shape it with his vision, and we'll see how it pans out.
Yeah, but watch out, because he's somebody, if any of these people goof up, or embarrassing, you're fired.
Yeah, we could totally see turnover.
Should have been Tulsi Gabbard. Like, that's a bad pick.
You like Gabbard over Hegseth?
Somebody like that, yeah. Somebody with some sort of, I don't know.
Political chops?
I know the common, everybody's like, well, it's a great pick. It's a great pick. Is it?
Well, I'm not saying it's a great pick. I like something different. I'm tired of the warmongerers, the guys that just constantly...
It's going to be a long 4 years, guys. It's going to be a long 4 years. If everything this guy does is like, oh, it's great. It's wonderful.
I didn't say everything was great. I don't like Marco Rubio, and I don't like... I don't like Marco Rubio or Christy Noem.
I mean, I will say that... I could see
Christy Noem being the first one gone. Keep in mind, remember the first time around, Dawn, that, you know, he had people that were in and out for, what, 12 months, 16 months? This person came in for the second 18 months. I mean, the notion that all of these people will be there for 4 years is probably misguided.
There's no shot. Right. There's no shot.
Yeah, I would say I'm surprised that you choose Christy Noem. I mean, she's a governor. She's also... Remember, she's somebody who her dad died when she was like 20. And
did she shoot him too?
And I met her during one of the Women for Trump events. And so she ran the family huge ranch and realized that when dad died, they were supposed to pay tax, inheritance tax. And mm-hmm. That's when she started learning about all this. But she was running a business and rose to becoming the governor of her state. So don't rule her out. She is somebody who, by all accounts, she's a very hard worker. She is very smart. And I mean, look at where she is right now. I mean, but she's, for her background as somebody who was, you could say, she was never a privileged person, nothing like that. And how she has risen to becoming a national name. When you meet her, she's an impressive individual. Wow. And I would say somebody, the key here, these are individuals who succeeded mostly in the private sector in big ways, went on then to the public sector.
855-839-1210, news to kick off the 7 o'clock hour.
Which we're in.
I got to learn to shut up. FEMA follow-up as well, because apparently it was standard operating procedure.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.